You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
As we head into the final weekend of the season, all of the division races are over, and it's just a matter of a couple of wild card races to be decided. I am Allison Sutter. Let's talk to our reporters about what is going on with their teams, both the ones who are headed to the playoffs, the ones who might be headed to the playoffs, and the ones who are done for the year.
Okay, so scheduling alone could help the Astros. Let's start with that. They have one more home game against the Mariners, and then they go to Anaheim. So they could theoretically win all of these games, which I guess they have to, right?
Oh, well, they definitely have to. But, you know, we said a week ago schedule is going to help them, and they lost three in a row to the Angels. So, yeah, they're at the point they have to win out. They have to get some help. So they put themselves in a tough position. Losing those three games at home to Anaheim or the Angels really, really hurt them, because I think everyone's kind of 10 games left. I think people were counting on them to go maybe 7-3, and then they lost the first three against the Angels, a team they've dominated. So they've lost another game since then. So there's no room for error with four games to go.
Alex Bregman coming back. He was supposed to be on his way to a rehab outing in instructional league, and then they decided to pinch hit him instead, and he gets a hit. Now he's back in the lineup. So this was AJ was telling us this morning. This was a situation where he was going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and now he's back. So are they going to be a little ginger with him?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, his hamstring's not 100%. 4 to 6 weeks, he's back in 2 weeks. But the bat, I mean, they have to find a way to get him in the lineup. And AJ, you know, we asked him about that, about the hamstring. And, you know, he said he was worried about him going first to home and, you know, maybe some of these long runs where he's got to go hard. So that's going to be an issue. But the bat's too good. They have to get him in there and try to get on base and try to drive some guys in. So, yeah, it's a pretty remarkable recovery. 4 to 6 weeks, here he is 2 weeks later. But Bregman's a different guy, and he really pushed himself hard. He wants to play, and he was going to get those at bats in the instructional league, and they decided, well, why don't we just do it here? And he comes off the bench and gets a pinch hit. So be interesting to watch him over the last four games.
This is amazing. It largely has to do with just the shortcomings of so many other teams in both leagues. It's like there's a limp to the finish line, it seems like. But the Orioles, I mean, they have to jump over a couple of teams, the Tigers being one. And I actually think the Tigers have the best team of all of these teams that are gunning for this. And the Orioles, I think they end the season with a three-game series against the Yankees, I believe. So, I mean, does it surprise you at all that the Astros, without really a good starting staff, with a bullpen that has blown up in the last week, here they are, not out of it yet. It still could come down to the last weekend. This does not make any sense to me.
No, it's really surprising. Yeah, if you look at the rotation in September, not pitching deep in the games, the bullpen has more innings than any other bullpen. You look at the injuries they've had, you know, Bregman being out for a couple of weeks, and, of course, Keuchel and McCullers being out. So the fact that they're even here, I think, is pretty remarkable. Think if they would have had Valbuena healthy, who was really productive, and if Bregman would have stayed healthy, if that starting rotation, I mean, I think they walk into the playoffs. So they've had to really patch together their pitching, and everyone's on fumes right now. It's all hands on deck. But if they can do it for a few more games and get some help, they'll have to patch it again in the playoffs. So we'll see. It's a pretty tough job.
Well, let's look at it just next year quickly. Even though I realize that this year is not over yet. But, I mean, I look at it like this is a championship-caliber lineup when everyone's healthy. I don't think that they really need to do a whole lot to it. The pitching, though, that they have a lot of work to do, because they're going to put Keuchel and McCullers back at the top of that rotation, pencil them in, and now we don't know. I mean, really, McCullers has not had a full healthy season yet. And now Keuchel with the fatigue issues and things like that. So that they've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think there's two schools of thoughts on which way they go in the offseason. They go and chase some starting pitching. There's not a lot of starting pitching out there. They're going to have to trade. Do they trade for Archer? Or, you know, I do think there are a couple of holes in the lineup. I mean, they could use some left-handed bats. I mean, I think they could, you know, Rasmus will be gone. They could use a left-handed bat on the corner of the outfield. They're going to have to decide what to do at first. I mean, Hinch was talking the other day, and in 2 years he's had 9 or 10 guys start at first base. They just can't find. Will it be Reed? He's going to have to lose weight. But they could go sign a left-handed outfielder, a left-handed first baseman. and I think roll the dice, because now your lineup would be super deep. Roll the dice with the starting pitching, hoping guys bounce back and maybe make a trade at midseason if you're in it. So
the Angels have done a little bit in the role of playing spoiler. We saw them come into Houston, where they are terrible, and take 3 of 4 against an Astros team that's trying to contend. So that's what they want to do this time of year, right, is just mess things up for the other guys.
Run through the tape, and I think they have so many questions to answer about going forward. This is a club, even though the results haven't been good this year, this is a club that feels it's in a win-now mode and that they get the pitching straightened out. They're in a good spot. And so, like, to compete the way they did against good teams, to come in and win a series and have a good September, it speaks volumes for them. And it says a lot for Mike Trout, who plays the same way every day. It says a lot for Albert Pujols, who just wants to go play and compete. And also for Mike Scioscia for keeping the tone right. I mean, because it's easy to quit. When you have high expectations, I always heard this, baseball people say this, that team was either going to finish first or last. But they kept fighting after they were not going to go to the postseason. And they've had a lot of good things emerge sort of a spring in their step to go into the offseason.
What's it like for a veteran player to... I mean, you think about, like, Albert Pujols, and I don't have any, like, massive sympathy for him. He had that great run in St. Louis, and I felt like he should have stayed in St. Louis, but whatever. But he is used to games meaning a lot in September, and there are other veteran guys on that team who have been in the playoffs and who have been part of good teams. What is it like to get through a September when you're playing for nothing?
You're playing for your professionalism. I had a friend in Baltimore that won 20 games one time, and on the last day of the season, Mike Boddicker, he won his 20th at Fenway Park. So it was the hardest game he'd ever pitched. The team had been eliminated, and he had no reason. He was out there for himself, and good players are generally not out there for themselves. They're out there. At the end of the day, you want to care about yourself, but you just have to push through, and that's what he's done. That's what Albert's done. And I think in Albert's case, there have been lots of games where you could tell his knees and his legs didn't feel good. And I think for him to be able to finish on a high note, and he's looked good in the second half of the season, it gives him confidence he's going to rest up and have a good offseason and come back the same way. Look, if you're a fan of the Angels, I don't care where they are in the standings, you get to see the best player in baseball every single day. You get to see Mike Trout play. And in Albert Pujols, you get to see one of the great players that's ever walked the face of the earth. So there's still lots going for him. And I just think... like, they have a good feeling about Garrett Richards, that he may be able to avoid Tommy John surgery. They have a good feeling about Matt Shoemaker. He came and visited the clubhouse, that he's going to recover completely from the skull fracture. And some of these young guys, you know, like Skaggs, have looked good. They probably need to go find a starting pitcher somewhere, but their everyday lineup's good, and they're good enough to compete going forward. A lot of it may depend on Garrett Richards and can he avoid Tommy John surgery. You know, he's throwing on flat ground. We'll see.
Okay, so Mike Trout, MVP. Best player.
Slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
It is a slam dunk.
Not even close.
And I was talking to I have an MVP vote, and I was talking to a guy the other day. I said, because we always put this vague thing, what is value? You know, and that's always punished players on teams that didn't go to the postseason. Well, how much value could the guy have? He didn't go to the postseason. But I'm not going to punish Mike Trout because Garrett Richards got hurt, because Matt Shoemaker took a line drive off his head. You know, that, I mean, to me, that's ridiculous. And who knows what value means? It's never been defined. It's for each person to define. So let's vote for the best player. And in this case, in this season, there is a gap between the best player and the next best player. What we're seeing is one of the great players ever. He's never finished lower than second in the MVP voting. This has never been done before. I think he's got 3 second place finishes, and this will be his second MVP award that he's going to have. And you know, you and I know this. You can come to the ballpark and see him play and not even watch for him, and he will do something almost every game that you go, holy smoke. I mean, whether it's in the outfield, it's something. And his approach and his professionalism and just the way that he just seems to be a happy guy mm-hmm. in the uniform playing every day. It's one of the great reasons to turn on your TV or go to the ballpark.
There's a joy that he definitely has. If he makes a great catch, he's not afraid to smile about it. If he hits a home run, he doesn't show anybody up, but he's like, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, there's a phrase, gym rat, And it, to me, a gym rat is a guy that just likes being there, likes putting on the uniform every day. And our friend Ali Gonzalez would talk about that first spring. He would say stuff like, "Hey, I think Albert knows my name." Well, I think, and Vince Scully talked about this, there's a lot of little boy in him. And I think there's a lot of little boy in him that still thinks, you know what? I get to put on the uniform and go play baseball every day. And that's not a bad way to make a living. And I sure hope he never loses that love and that excitement of going out and playing.
So I asked you a bunch of weeks ago, like, about Mike Scioscia, not really thinking at all that there might have to be a decision made on him, or maybe he wouldn't finish out this extremely lucrative contract that he's in. I don't know. And then you kind of start seeing, like, little things written about it here and there. I really never thought with any seriousness that Mike Scioscia would not be managing through the life of his contract. Is that a possibility that he won't?
That's going to be owner Artie Moreno's call, as far as I can tell. What I think I know is that Mike is still excited about doing it. Now, you would never know. Like, I didn't know Jim. I talked to Jim Leland the day before he hung it up, and I was stunned that he left. I didn't think La Russa was going to quit, and he had already planned it all out. But I think Mike feels like that there's more to prove. And also, like, I remember Pat Riley saying once, whenever coaches were quitting left and right on with burnout, what they called burnout, Pat Riley said, "This is what I do. I'm a coach. I'm a basketball coach." At some point, he did quit. I don't think Mike's going to quit, and I don't think Artie is going to fire him. I think Mike sees a nucleus that's close to winning if they can keep everybody on the field. I think he's got a good relationship with the general manager, Billy Epler, and certainly he has had a good relationship with Artie Moreno. You know, yeah. Like, do you feel like to tell your fans you have to hold someone accountable?
Greg, so they're keep fighting, right? That is their mantra, keep fighting. And they go home for four games this weekend against the A's, and it looks like these games are going to matter. So I guess this is all they can really ask for, right?
Well, I guess they could ask for a 10-game lead right now. It'd be great. But, right. But yeah, what they said from the start of this year, we want to be in it at the end. And, you know, this wasn't a club that was, you know, probably going to win 100 games. They're not the Cubs. They're a team that thought they could compete. And they're doing that. Would they love to be a little better shape? Of course. They are going into the last homestand with a chance. And, you know, that's something they haven't had much, you know, in the last 15 years. So, we'll see how they do. The A's are in last place in the West. You think that's a team you can come in and do some damage, see what happens. They're going to need some help from other teams, but they do have a chance.
So they came into Houston, and it was a very exciting first game. Robinson Cano, you could explain it that he's just like a great hitter. And so, of course, when you see a team enough, you're probably going to have the great hitters. They're probably going to do very well. But it is a little uncanny how great he is against the Astros, and it could not have been more timely than right now.
Two home runs his first game of this series. And it's funny, though, Allison, you look at Cano, what he does to the Astros, and Jose Altuve seems to do the same thing to the Mariners. So it's been fun watching those two second basemen all year with unbelievable series against each other. And yet Cano with, I think 22 of his RBIs this year just against the Astros, which is pretty amazing. But he's been huge and from start to finish, and nice to see him finishing strong this year. It's been a great year for Robinson and well-deserved.
So Felix Hernandez, is there any concern? I mean, I only really see him when he's pitching against the Astros, and he does not ever really do well. But there has to be a little concern there, right? That there are games that he is just not good.
There's no question. Felix is not Felix of 5 years ago. He's got to be a better pitcher. He's got to be a smarter pitcher. And Felix is a smart pitcher. So that is there concern? Well, of course, you know, you want your ace to be, you know, the overpowering guy. I don't know if Felix is going to be that guy. He's talking about he needs to learn how to pitch differently. He's got great stuff. It'll be interesting to see how he comes back next year, what he does with this offseason. We'll see how he comes back. You know, he had the injury this year and missed 2 months. It certainly affected things. He's 30 years old. He's pitched a ton of innings. I mean, that's the thing with Felix, that the wear on his arm is pretty amazing. We'll see where he goes. Is there concern? I think there's always concern when you look at a guy that's not as dominant as he was, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be an effective pitcher and learn to, you know, be what he is, which if he uses that changeup, The tough thing with him is if teams wait for him to get that changeup up, or wait for him to get up in the zone, he didn't quite have the fastball he used to have. He needs to command that fastball if he's going to be that good. He hasn't quite had that in the last, especially against the Astros, as you mentioned. But that kind of goes back. He's only faced them three times in the last 2 years. Tough the whole way. So, you know, we saw him his last start before Houston, 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs against the Toronto Blue Jays, which is one of the best offenses in baseball. So is it in there? Yes. He still can be Felix when everything's clicking.
Coming to spring training, everybody adds value to each other, play together to win. Our expectations are that we're showing up to win the American League West.
As much as we all want Yu Darvish back, as soon as we can get him back, I want the process to take shape and have him come back when it's time for him to come back.
Donaldson wraps up the save on opening day.
Today they get one hit, a blooper to left field, didn't hit a ball hard the whole day.
Prince Fielder does it again, in to score Odor.
Career RBI number 1,000 for Prince Fielder.
7-6 Texas now, and in the start of the eighth inning.
Matt Bush against Bautista, first pitch, and he drilled him in the rib.
A runner at first, one away.
It's a ground ball left side. Beltre pitch to his left, throws to second for one, Rugi to first, and Bautista goes after him, and Rugi pushes Bautista, and they're in a fight at second base.
This has been brewing since last October.
You're expecting to be suspended, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not a surprise. It's a 7-game suspension. I think this is what the Rangers have expected. The Rangers got offended. Maybe that Jose Bautista threw his bat in the postseason, but that he threw his bat and it landed in front of the dugout.
Rougned Odor getting a standing ovation from the Ranger faithful here at Globe Life Park. You don't see many guys just coming back from the suspended list that get a standing ovation, do you?
Rasmus on the run in the corner. He's still going, and it is off the wall. It bounds away from him. The Rangers have won it on a walk-off by Rougned Odor.
Castro being waved. Desmond's got that strong arm to throw the play in time.
What a throw by Ian Desmond.
Wong ready to go at third base. Here he comes. Testing the arm of Desmond, and he is out at home. What a play by Desmond on a sinking line drive, taking it right off the sod top. Wow.
Yu Darvish will be placed on the 15-day disabled list.
Bad news to pass along regarding Colby Lewis. He has a grade 2 strain of the lat muscle. He will be shut down for 4 weeks before they even try to start ramping him back up to throw again. So Colby out for 2 months at least. And also, too, Derek Holland today placed on the 15-day DL.
Somebody's got to step up and pitch for us, and we know that. It's in the middle part of the season here. A little bit of a grind, but our guys are prepared for it.
That ball is history. A 2-run walk-off homer for Adrian Beltre, and the Rangers have won it. His second home run of the night, his fourth hit.
They're touching his head. They're touching his head.
Found it! Deep right field. It is on its way. Walk it off Fitzgerald. It is bedlam at home plate as the Rangers win it.
I remember Prince Fielder when he was a 6-year-old, 8-year-old, would come out to the park with his father. Wasn't just a slugger, but he was a guy that had a smile on his face, did it with joy. And it's sad to see him being forced physically to retire, probably before he's ready, much before he's ready.
Doctors told me since, two spinal fusions, I gotta, can't play Major League Baseball anymore. I just want to thank my teammates.
A special human being, a special person. You guys didn't get to see all of that all the time. We do, and that's why, I fell in love with the guy, the competitor, and the person. So yeah, it emotional all the way around.
Now I have to look forward for what is ahead of me, and now is trying to get to Texas, trying to help the team win as many ball games as I can.
And Carlos Beltran, the first deal today, listen, the guy's a Hall of Famer. Switch hitting, he's still an elite level hitter. And Jonathan Lucroy is one of the best catchers in the game. I mean, he ranks up there on a pretty short list of the real impact guys.
Yu Darvish tonight making his 11th start overall, 97. Gets Votto, the 2-2. Got him swinging. Strikeout number 4 for Darvish. Ball's hit well to center field. Hamilton
get out of
on the move back, dead center. Goodbye.
You got to be kidding me.
Yu Darvish driving that over the 400-foot marker, dead center field.
There's the eighth strikeout of the night. Cole Hamels, a two-hit shutout through eighth inning.
Welcome in, Carlos Gomez. There it is. Goodbye, number 30 for Adrian Beltre. Andrews around second. He is in with a triple. The Rangers have turned this game around.
There's some teams that everything goes well, and I guess Houston is one of those teams.
Can the Rangers win it? Jonathan Lucroy. It's pandemonium here at the ballpark again.
Desmond serves it out toward right field. That one drops in, base hit. Andrews being waved. Here's a throw, and it's wide. Andrews scores, and the Rangers have walked it off again.
46th come from behind victory.
And there's a swing, and that one is hit a ton into the left field corner. Gone, a home run. 31st of the year for Adrian Beltre. Tying run at the plate. The 2-1 pitch, bouncer up the middle. Odor has it, flips to Andrews. This one is over, and the Rangers are champions of the American League West.
Jane, so a couple of just items that we want to get to. First of all, Jarrell Cotton, who we spoke about last week, had a really, really good start against the Rangers. And I just wanted to talk about him again a little bit more, because this has to give the team a lot of optimism that they might have, you know, a little bit of a foundation going into next season on the pitching side.
It really does. I mean, between him and Sean Manaea, who pitched really well again last night, I mean, these are two young guys that, I mean, I know it's the end of this season, and you know, you don't want to look too far ahead, but you have to think, you know, are going to be just huge pieces for them in the rotation next year. You know, you put them alongside a healthy Sonny Gray, Kendall Graveman, and you know, you also have so many other options. I think it's exciting for them. And I mean, these guys are pitching against good lineups too. You know, Cotton in particular, his last time out against the Rangers, I mean, that's no easy task. And, you know, first time, second, third time through the order, it really didn't matter. I mean, he was just kind of cruising along. And I know he gains confidence from that. You know, the early going of your big league career isn't always easy. And I think Manaea is someone who can kind of speak to that, just because he did have his bumps along the way, and he's kind of put it all together. But with Cotton, I mean, it seems like it's been so easy from him from the second he came up. And I know that these last two starts here, they've wanted to keep him at five innings, but his pitch count's been so low that they've been able to keep him out there. And, I mean, to get through seven against the Rangers, I think it was on fewer than 80 pitchers. I mean, it's really, really remarkable. And I know that you go back to the way he got here, and I know fans weren't at the time happy to see someone like Josh Reddick go and Rich Hill too, but the talent that they got back, you know, and to already be seeing the fruits of that deal, you know, come to life with Cotton, I think everyone just has to be pretty happy with it right now.
Yeah, Kendall Graveman throwing six no-hit innings against the Rangers recently also. You know, what is it like catching these teams that are just, I mean, they're like close to clinching, or they've clinched and maybe their guard is down a little bit. I mean, not taking anything away from these pitchers, but it is kind of interesting that they had such a good series against those guys. And Graveman being another one, you start seeing his name a lot more kind of from a national standpoint, because he's starting to open some eyes also.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that's been in their rotation all season, believe it or not. And I mean, he's just been so steady for them. And really with Sonny Gray going through his struggles, his health concerns, I mean, Graveman's really stepped up and just kind of been that ace of the staff. And you know, you talk about confidence among the young guys. I mean, I think it's been just as big for Graveman, too. Because this is a guy last year that when he got sent down to AAA, after the first month of the season, I mean, he was not doing well, you know, mentally. And I think for him to put together this type of season, you know, for a lot of pitchers, confidence is just as key of an ingredient, you know, as any other pitches. And for Graveman to have that, I think that's just been huge. And, you know, when you're doing it against lineups like that, you know, I know Jarrell the other day joked it was getaway day, so maybe the Rangers were just swinging, trying to get out of town. But still, I mean, these are really good hitters. And, I think, you know, the A's, you look at the times when they've had success, it's always been built on their pitching. So to kind of see flashes of this, even though they haven't been winning here recently, the offense has kind of sputtered, but the pitching has been there, and I think that's, you know, pretty encouraging.